Well, every Tuesday, we hop down the 7 line and hit Morton and roll into the Showers Plaza. And into City Hall we go, but the mayor, we're not knocking on his door today because he is out this afternoon. Instead, we're going to find the public engagement director, the title that Mary Catherine Carmichael used to hold that I never got right. I always called it the public engagement, something else, public. So I screwed it up. Now that I have it right, Kaisa Goodman is there. Kaisa, good afternoon. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on the show today, Mike.
Well, I appreciate you filling in for the mayor. He was smart. You get the long weekend, boom, get out of there. I don't know what he's doing. We always have a good talk, and we always goof around a little bit. But even though the holiday was yesterday, boy, the city was busy. You guys threw your annual Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration down at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. Every year it takes place at 6 o'clock when the doors open. You had great appetizers and refreshments. And obviously, the crux of the program, you had featured speakers from Georgia. You gave away the Martin Luther King Commission, a special award winner. Boy, oh boy, that you're right. It's not a day on or a day off. It's definitely a day on.
Absolutely. And I just have to give a huge shout out to everyone who made yesterday's event so awesome, our Community and Family Resources Department, led by Beverly Callender Anderson, and of course the staff organizer Michael Shermis, were just two of the folks. But it was a really cool event, and we were really honored to have Representative Park Cannon from Georgia. She's a really powerful millennial lawmaker activist, and we were honored to hear from her.
So she gave a speech as well, and our great friend Mary Catherine Carmichael delivered remarks. Yes. Also, you had music, you had dancing, you had singing. You have to have one heck of a committee to put this all together.
That's true. We have the MLK Birthday Celebration Committee. It is a year-round board that works on this. As they said yesterday, their next meeting, they're going to be planning the 2024 event. So they work year-round to get this set up, and it really shows. It's always a fabulous event.
Yeah, you have the choral ensemble, the ballet. How about the kids from Fairview? Everybody get a kick out of them, the drummers?
Absolutely. They got a standing ovation. They were really tremendous.
And how was your crowd last night, Kaisa?
It was a really good turnout. You know, I don't have the official numbers yet, but having gone the last few years, I think it's the biggest crowd we've had in a few years. Probably people, you know, felt a little safer going out this year than they had the last couple of years. But the ground floor of the Buskirk was full. We had some folks in the balcony and lots of call and response, lots of excitement and enthusiasm for the speakers.
Well, that was where I was going with that, as you mentioned. Now that kind of COVID's not completely gone and out of the picture, but it's a lot more manageable and everything else. People are gathering and getting together. It's great to hear that number was big. You get free parking that day. You had some great refreshments and everything else. You had great sponsors that helped put all of this on. But you talked about the speeches that were given, but there was a major award given as well, the Martin Luther King Jr. Legacy Award for 2023. Tell me all about Nancy Cross Harris and why she was the best candidate this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a real pleasure seeing Ms. Cross Harris get the award. She is very, very accomplished. She's done a huge amount of work with the Bethel AME Church and at the Neil Marshall Black Cultural Center. And clearly is such an institution in our town. And that really showed with all the folks who showed up for her. I think one of the most fun parts of the evening was when she got off the stage after receiving the award, which was a surprise to her. She knew she had been nominated, but not that she had won. And her sisters had actually driven in from out of town, and they were there, and they brought the lights up in the Buskirk Chumleys, and everyone got to see her, you know, reunited.
That is fantastic. I love that about this
moment.
Award. I've told Deputy Mayor Don Griffin this and Mary Catherine Carmichael and Mayor Hamilton as well. Don't ever change that. Don't ever, because when people don't know, it just the pure joy and celebration that comes with it, I know the other people that were nominated were probably like, oh, that's not me, darn it. But but the whole point is, if you don't know, there's not a lot of surprises left in life. So some people have gender reveal parties, some people don't. But this is very, very, very cool. And to see Nancy Cross Harris pick up that award. This award has been given out since 2000. Is that right? Do I have my dates right here? It goes back. It goes back a few years. And she adds her name to a very prestigious list of award recipients here in our Absolutely. Community. So that's exciting. And, well, you talked about 2024 briefly while we're on this topic. If somebody has a nominee for 2024, do they just simply go to the city's website and put in Martin Luther King Jr. Legacy Award and follow the instructions?
You know, I don't believe that the nomination form is open yet for next year.
Okay.
But when it is open, we'll put out a press release and actively seek those nominations.
Perfect. So definitely let us know so we can make sure everybody gets out there, because it is a big deal. And as you mentioned, this is an all-year project of getting everything ready and put together and getting everybody together. And it's always in January. It's always at the Buskirk Chumley. It's always on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. So that's even easier for everybody to remember. So a fantastic night. How long does this event last, Kaisa? How long? We know the doors opened at 6. Does this go 9, 10 o'clock?
Yeah, so the program itself started at 7, and it usually runs until about 8:30 or 9. We wrapped up around 9 o'clock last night, but folks were still hanging out past 9 o'clock, chatting with all the speakers and each other. So it was definitely a festive atmosphere.
Absolutely outstanding. And for people who might not have missed it or had other things going on, does Cats have this? Can we go back and watch somewhere?
You know, that's a good question. I do believe that it was on Cats, but I can double check for you.
Yeah, just send me an email whenever you run into that so I can point people in that direction if that's the case. Or if you're listening right now and you think, well, I'll just go to Cats TV, CatsTV.net, Cats TV. Google it. You'll find it. The Googleometer has everything, right?
Yeah, actually, I just checked. It is CatsTV.net. And if you click on the Community Videos tab, it is on there. The full celebration is on Cats.
Very cool. So if you didn't have a chance or you didn't want to show up late because you had other things going on, well, we know life is busy. And another great service here locally, Cats TV, taking care of all of that. The public engagement director for the city of Bloomington is Kaisa Goodman. She joins us this afternoon. It's Martin Luther King Day. Well, it's in the books. Now we've got 364 days to plan for the next one, and we'll be excited to see that when it rolls around in next January. Now we've got other things that are going on. Obviously busy with the city council this time of year. Why? They've just gotten reorganized. I know you guys are in contact with them almost on a daily basis. What's going to be on our agenda for tomorrow's meeting?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, we do have a city council meeting tomorrow. We've got a few different items on the agenda. I think the big one is really the vote on whether or not to purchase the CFC side of the showers building for public safety expansion. And then also kind of in the same piece of legislation is the appropriation of the bonds that were passed in December for that purchase and for renovation of it for public safety and some renovation of some fire stations as well. So big public safety investments. It's exciting stuff for the future of the city. And that's the big item on tomorrow's agenda.
Yeah, so that's busy. That'll be in council chambers tomorrow night. That's another thing you can watch on Cats TV if you can't be there, or you can Zoom in, or well, we got 100 ways to do it. That's the best. That's the best part as well. And when we talk about public safety, there was a big story made news last week of an 18-year-old, I believe, Asian American student on a Bloomington Transit bus. We have an update on that story, and that update's nothing but disturbing. What's the city's viewpoint on this moving forward?
Well, the mayor has made it very clear that here in Bloomington, we deplore any form of racism or discrimination, especially hate-based violence. And that sentiment has been echoed by, many other community partners, including the folks at IU. And so we've been in constant communication with those leaders at IU, just talking about, what happened and making sure that the student's getting the support she needs, and that, that I think one of the other parts of this is really important is just making clear to everybody else in this community that this community does not stand for racism, discrimination, and hate-based violence, and that we want everyone to feel welcome and safe here.
Well, we know that not everyone is going to be happy or pleased with what went on here. What has been talked about in the public safety realm that can make Bloomington safer, or do we just say, geez, this is just an incident that I don't want to call it a one-off incident because that seems kind of Pollyanna-ish, but does the city feel this is part of a larger problem, or was it more of an isolated incident?
Well, you know, Bloomington is a relatively safe place compared to, you know, a lot of other places, but we certainly aren't immune to issues that our entire country is dealing with. And I don't have this, you know, all the statistics on the top of my head, but I think, you know, in the last 5 years or so, there have been a rise in hate-based violence against many different populations. And that's something that, you know, is obviously of concern. To, you know, to me as a person, to me as someone who works for local government, and I think that it's a really complicated issue. I think that there are a lot of factors that go into how we can make the community both safer and also feel safer, which are two different but also both important things. I think that, you know, we've been talking a lot about justice reform here in our community, and I think that we have to think about how, you know, how this ties in with elements of mental health and support for people who might need, you know, services, or how we approach these things, both from the traditional justice system, but also for making sure that people get the help that they need. So. It's a complicated issue.
You're absolutely right, and that's why I was going to preface this question by saying, if I'm getting too deep in the weeds here, let me know. But who starts the drive of justice reform? Is that the state legislature? Is that the mayor's office? Is it the police, the courts? For people that don't understand this or have the experience or inside knowledge of it, where does it start, or does everybody play a part in this?
Well, that's a really good question. So, you know, on a local level, the county government is responsible for justice reform, for the justice system, and also for public health. In kind of the most literal sense. But to your question about who's involved in that, I think that the answer to that is more nuanced. And I think that's something where, even though it's the county government that, you know, runs the jail and the courts, obviously we have, you know, BPD, Bloomington Police Department, we have IUPD, we have the county sheriff, and that's just, you know, here in Monroe County. And we have people who, care about this. And I think that, the way that we, look at our justice system is a reflection of our values as a community. And I know that with you know, a lot of conversations about community justice reform right now, and there's a lot of folks at the county, the city, activists, experts in mental health and public health who, you know, I think all need to be at the table when we're having that conversation.
The voice you hear is Kaisa Goodman. She is the public engagement director of the city of Bloomington. And for now, that title is fantastic because public engagement can happen on about 16,427 levels. What are you responsible for? Just about everything, it sounds like.
It's a whole bunch of different things. It varies from, you know, things that are more internal city operations. So I help the mayor make recommendations about who is on boards and commissions. So that's a great way to get involved in local government. If you're a resident of the city or the county, both the city and the county have lots of boards and commissions on basically every topic you could think of, from parking to trees to public safety and everything in between. And so I work with staff and community members to help fill those with interested folks. And I work with all of the other intergovernmental entities and lots of our community partners like the Chamber and Downtown Bloomington, Inc. And then I also get to kind of go out and speak on the city's behalf and, you know, ask for input on topics like justice reform and other important topics. So it's a little bit of everything.
Well, that's fantastic. Never a dull moment. Awfully, awfully exciting. And we've got some exciting stuff coming up this weekend. I didn't want to pass us by. Freeze Fest is coming up, and so is Winter Palooza. Now, my forecast is not mine, the one I pass along, like I'm taking credit for any of this, is pretty good, because on Friday it's going to be seasonably temperate, 36 in clouds, Saturday 39 and partly cloudy. We don't want it too warm if we're going to be ice carving and doing sculptures and having fun down at Switchyard Park, do we?
Yeah, I think we're pretty lucky. I think that the ice, I heard it's arriving on Thursday. Hopefully it won't be too warm on Thursday, but then we've got good weather Friday and Saturday, right around freezing, but much warmer than last year. I think it was about 5 degrees when I went last year. So
it was brutal.
This should be a little bit more comfortable.
You know, this is going to sound terrible, but the reason I didn't go last year, because it was about 5 degrees. And we kind of laughed about that on Friday. It's like, man, do we want to get it's not very, this is going to be much better, is what I'm trying to say in a very complicated way. You will actually enjoy being out for the third annual Freeze Fest. Upland, the mill, all the actions going on there. And don't think of, well, if it's too cold, well, go inside and eat some chili for a great cause if you get cold on Saturday.
Absolutely. Yeah, the chili cook-off is inside at the mill from 11 to 2 on Saturday, and all the proceeds to that benefit United Way of Monroe County. Tickets are just $12 and free for kids 10 and under.
That's right. But you know why it's free for kids 10 and under? I have a 12-year-old and I have a 9-year-old. You know how much chili they would eat? Zero. Not one bite, so that's good. But the kids that are adventurous, maybe more adventurous than mine, will get out there and try the chili cook-off. It's spelt with a Y. The chili's not going to be cold. It's going to be hot. The event's chili. But you will enjoy it all and support a great cause at the time. And then at 2 o'clock, we wrap things up, and that'll give everybody plenty of time to get down to Winter Palooza at Switchyard Park.
Yeah, absolutely. Winter Palooza is Switchyard Park from 3 to 5 p.m. It is $5 a person or $20 for the family. And there's going to be a whole afternoon of winter-themed crafts and activities in the pavilion at Switchyard Park.
In the pavilion, kids. That means the heat will be on. So those of you who do not want to freeze, you won't, even though it's called Freeze Fest and Winter Palooza. But where are you getting a snowmaker? I'm curious now.
You know, I am curious about that as well. I'm thinking that's part of the magic of Freeze Fest and Winter Palooza is figuring out where we're going to come up with the snow.
That's fantastic, but there will be snow making, right? There will be
that's the rumor. What I hear. Yes,
that's
I'm excited.
Rumor.
You're
like me.
I'm gonna go check it out.
Yeah, the curiosity is fantastic. So we'll see what's going on down there. Again, that's a very busy Freeze Fest. Starts on Friday, and they'll carve ice all day long. Upland's got some really cool things on Friday night. You can go to Visit Bloomington. You go to the city's website. Everybody's got the details. The big ice carving chainsaw competition, the frozen bar. That's on Friday night. Saturday, more carving competitions, the chili cook-off, and then Winter Palooza 3 to 5 at Switchyard Park Pavilion. And the magical snowmaking machine will be doing work. The good news is when you make the snow, it's not going anywhere on Saturday. So that will be fun as well. You talked about boards and commissions earlier, and you told me there's 1,000 of them. They don't all start and end at the same time. So when can people apply to get on these boards and commissions, Kaisa?
Yeah, that's a good question. So a lot of the terms, most of the terms formally start and end in December and January. But, you know, we have folks who need to step away for whatever reason throughout the year. And so we put out a monthly press release. I believe there's one going out today. And that lists all of the vacancies for boards and commissions. And some of those vacancies are filled by the mayor and some are filled by the city council, but we have a joint press release that goes out. And so I encourage folks to keep an eye out for that and, you know, see if there's an opening that matches their interests. And you can also go to our website and fill out an application to be on boards and commissions. And even if there's not an opening right now, we will keep your application on file. And if something comes up and it looks like it's a match, we'll reach out.
Excellent. So that's a great way to get involved and make a difference here locally. It starts here locally, folks. It doesn't start at the top and trickle down. If you want to make a difference here, these boards and commissions are the first and quickest way to do so. And speaking of local things happening, the CBCI, the City of Bloomington Capital Improvements, that's a nonprofit that was announced. When was that announced? Was that last week or was that yesterday? Yesterday?
That was last week. Yep, okay. It went out Friday morning.
Gotcha. Well, that's focusing on the arts and technology, jobs, housing. It's kind of a broad layout. You want to give us a quick description of what's happening there?
Yeah. So on Friday, Mayor Hamilton announced a new 501c3 nonprofit called, like you said, CBCI, City of Bloomington Capital Improvement, Inc. And the goal, like you said, is to advance initiatives in those three main areas. So that's arts, technology, jobs, and housing. And like you said, it feels like kind of a broad range, but I think it's really important to understand that all of those things are really key to economic development. I think the term economic development gets thrown around a lot, and I usually summarize it by saying companies move to places where people want to live and where there's jobs. And the people, talented people to fill them. And so when we're talking about that, it's about creating a place with a really high quality of life that people want to live and also that people can afford to live. And so that's where the housing component comes into that. So right now, the City of Bloomington oversees a lot of major projects. Some of those involve ownership of land or, you know, capital projects like building something. And the goal of activating this nonprofit is to really realize the full public value of those projects without detracting from all the other work that city departments do. So we have a lot of things that our staff are doing that are part of our kind of day-to-day operations, but then we also have all of these big projects. And so the goal with the nonprofit is to really make sure that we're able to give the essentials, and these important projects for our future, the attention that they deserve. So I think it's an exciting opportunity.
Well, very cool. And as you mentioned, that just came out Friday, so that's kind of new on everybody's plate. You got to file your paperwork and jump through all those hoops first, right? Then we'll get a board put together. Who are we going to put on that board? Do we appoint that? Or those? How do we go about in that process?
Yeah, that's a good question. The way that the nonprofit is structured includes appointments by both the mayor and the city council. And so the administration looks forward to working with the council in the next few weeks to talk about that. And I encourage everyone to stay tuned for next steps.
Very, very cool. Well, hey, thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I'm going to let you get back to work, but if the mayor's not around, I always joke you can go home early. I won't rat you out on that. You put in a shift today. You've worked hard. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really been a pleasure.
Great.
Thanks for your time today and for having me on the show.
Well, I hope you come back and talk to me. I hope I didn't scare you away with all my goofy questions.
Anytime.
All right. I'm writing that down in permanent marker. I will let the mayor know that you stayed late, and we'll keep this our secret.
Perfect.
Thanks, Kaisa. Great to meet you. I appreciate your time, and I hope to talk soon.
Absolutely. You have a great rest of your day.
You as well. Kaisa Goodman, the public engagement director. Well, she's engaging with the public right now on WGCL, and we appreciate her time today. Pinch hitting for Mayor Hamilton. Mayor Hamilton is back in the chair next Tuesday. And again, every week we've got two or three or four things that are going on. I don't want to miss out on that, so I'm very happy that she agreed to pinch hit. Great job, Rose and the gang, getting everything organized over at the city. Mary Catherine Carmichael, the deputy mayor, will be here on Thursday in her normal spot, and we'll talk county government with our great friend Marty Hawk, and we'll do that. She always gives us the update on the county and the county commissioners. We do that every Wednesday just after 4:05.